ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। O great King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of the material and spiritual energies, who is certainly the creator of the entire cosmos, creates the time factor to allow the material energy and the living entity to act within the limits of time. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is never under the time factor nor under the material energy. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. One should not think that the Lord is dependent on the time factor. He actually creates the situation by which material nature acts and by which the conditioned soul is placed under material nature. Both the conditioned soul and the material nature act within the time factor. But the Lord is not subject to the actions and reactions of time, for time has been created by Him. To be more clear, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that creation, maintenance, and annihilation are all under the supreme will of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Yadda yadda hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutana madharmasya tadatmanam srijam yaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharat, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. Since Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the controller of everything, when He appears, He is not within the limitations of material time. Janma karma chame divyam. In this verse, the words kalam charantam shijatisha ashrayam indicate that although the Lord acts within time, whether sattva-guna, raja-guna, or tamaguna is prominent, one should not think that the Lord is under the time's control. Time is within His control, for He carries time to act in a certain way. He is not working under the control of time. The creation of the material world is one of the Lord's pastimes. Everything is fully under His control. Since creation takes place when Rajoguna is prominent, the Lord creates the necessary time to give facilities for Rajoguna. Similarly, He also creates the necessary times for maintenance and annihilation. Thus, this verse establishes that the Lord is not under the limitations of time. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna. Krishna is the supreme controller. Sachidananda Vigraha. He possesses a blissful spiritual body. Anadi. He is not subordinate to anything. As the Lord confirms in Bhagavad Gita, Matta Parataram Nanyat Kinchit Asti Dhananjaya. O conqueror of wealth, Arjuna, there is no truth superior to me. Nothing can be above Krishna, for He is the controller and creator of everything. The Mayavadi philosophers say that this material world is mitya, false, and that one should therefore not bother about this mitya creation. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya. But this is not correct. Here it is said, Satya Krit. Whatever is created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Satyam Param, cannot be called Mitya. The cause of the creation is Satya, true. So how can the effect of the cause be mitya? The very word satyakrit is used to establish that everything created by the Lord is factual, not never false. The creation may be temporary, but it is not false. Today we are reading from Canto 7 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 1, text number 11. This chapter is entitled, "The Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone." In the beginning of this particular narration of Srimad Bhagavatam, Maharaj Parikshit is inquiring, the Lord claims to be impartial. Then why is it that he kills the asuras and he is protecting the demigods? That appears to be partiality. Can you clear this doubt? Sukadeva Goswami is explaining how the Supreme Lord is transcendental to all material considerations. Krishna tells in Gita, Samoham sarabhuteshu namedveshosti na priya ye bhajanti tumam bhakya mayi teshi chuchet mayi te teshu chapyaham, that he is equal to everyone. He is not envious of anyone. He is everyone's friend. But as we approach him, he reciprocates accordingly. This is how the Lord is impartial. He gives everyone the chance to attain the ultimate perfection. And he will reciprocate according to how we approach him. If we offer our love to Krishna, then Krishna, Hare Krishna, will reciprocate with his love in the form of intimacy. If we approach Krishna with wrath or envy, then Krishna will reciprocate by purifying us of that propensity, because it simply is not good for us. So that actually is his love. He is the well-wisher of all living beings. Whatever he does is for the ultimate benefit of everyone. And it is this faith that Shukadeva Goswami is instilling within our hearts in this particular narration of Srimad Bhagavatam. The material creation is constituted of these three modes of nature: sattva-guna, rajaguna, tamaguna, goodness, passion, and ignorance. And these three modes of material nature are forces which impel living entities to act under their control. The Gita declares, prakrite kriyamanani guna karmani sarvasha ahankara iti ame. Ahankara vimudatma karataham iti manyate. This means that the foolish living entity thinks that he or she is the doer of their activities, but actually they are carried out by nature, by the three modes of material nature. But Krishna explains in Gita, tribir gunamayar bhavayar, that he is never under the influence of material nature. He is always the controller of all controllers. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunani nukonteya jagat viparivartate. Material nature, Krishna says, is working under my direction. And in the 11th chapter of Gita, Krishna tells, time I am. The ultimate controller within material existence is time. And we have seen even the greatest conquerors, they ultimately succumb to the Lord in the form of time. Where is Alexander the Great? Where is Hitler? Where is Napoleon? Where are all these great conquerors? Where is Bach and Beethoven and Mozart, all these great composers? Where are all the great athletes of 100 years ago? The manufacturers, even Henry Ford. He believed in reincarnation. But where is he? Everyone is ultimately conquered by time. What is this time? It is so mysterious. Because you can't see it. You can't touch it. You can't taste it. You can't hear it. It's so subtle. You can't even grasp it with your mind. But yet, it's 24 hours a day conquering everything and everyone. The vast oceans will be dried up. The Himalayan mountains will become dust by the power of time. And you can't see it. You can't taste it. You can't touch it. You can't hear it. What is this force? We live within its grasp at all times, but people cannot fathom it. What is this? We try to measure time with clocks or with calendars, yes? But this clock, the second hand never stops. But even if you stop it, even if you take the batteries out or pull the plug out, still, the seconds are passing. There are so many different calendars. There's a Hindu calendar, there's a Muslim calendar, there's a Christian calendar. Yes, and they have different references of when dates begin. We even have our own calendar. It's based on when Lord Chaitanya appeared within the world. And the Christians, when Jesus Christ appeared in the world. So yes, various calendars, various references, even the months. Some go by lunar calendar. That from the new moon to the no moon, that is 1 month. Others go by the solar calendar. But however way you want to try to organize it or categorize it, time is imperceptibly moving forward. Ayur harati vai pungshang. The Bhagavatam says, with every rising and setting of the sun, we are one day closer to death. Except those who utilize their time to hear and chant the glories of the Supreme Lord. For them, with every rising and setting of the sun, we are one day closer to eternal life. Krishna tells in Gita that not only is he not affected by time, but the eternal spirit soul is not affected by time. Natvevaham jatunasam. Natvam neme janaripa, nachayvana bhavishyama saravivayamatapuram. It says, never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Najayate mriyate vakadachya. That the soul is eternal. It has no beginning and end. It is not subject to birth, old age, disease. Essentially, Gita explains, these are the real problems of life. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, dukkha, doshana, darshanam. Birth, old age, disease, and death. They are all being controlled by time. Dukkalayam ashashvatam. This means, why do people suffer in this world? Because they're attached to that which is temporary. What does temporary mean? Under the power of the control of time. Time is so important to understand how it influences us and how we should live within this realm of time to achieve our real benefits. Chanakya Pandit, Prabhupada quotes as saying that if you lose a second You cannot buy back that second with all the wealth in the entire creation. That is how valuable time is. This is what Prahlad was speaking to his class friends. If you remember, he was in the Gurukul of Sanda Anamarka. And that was Shukracharya's Gurukula, which was specially to facilitate Hiranyakashipu's training young children to be very productive in his mission. So, in Sandana Marka's Gurukula, they were teaching how to make friends with people and how to exploit your friends for as much as you can get. And whoever's your enemy, how to understand and discriminate between the two and how to conquer them and exploit them according to their particular relationship with you. So Prahlad was just not interested in all these mundane, temporary subjects. Why? Because he wasn't seeing in the reference of temporary time. He was seeing in reference of the soul. That every living being is part and parcel of Krishna. Every living being is my brother and sister. So I have no such material friends or enemies. I'm the servant of everyone. So Sandana Marka, they were very disturbed with him. So they tried to threaten him in so many ways. They picked up sticks, they threatened. But Prahlad, because he actually was, he loved them. He loved the people who were trying to kill him. Because he saw that they were part of Krishna. And ultimately he saw that they're just, whatever is coming, it is Krishna manifesting through them, to me, for my benefit. So I welcome. Arivo. So he was always respectful and kind. So his teachers actually began to think that he is learning our teachings gradually. So one day, they went to take a break, and they left the children to play. So all the children were playing, and they said, "Prahlad, come play with us." And Prahlad was not interested in playing. So they sat down and they asked him, "Why are you the way you are? Please tell us." And Prahlad said, "The time is so important. Why should we waste time in frivolous activities? The purpose of life is to use every moment for the service of the Lord." And the children were just children. When we become older, then yes, maybe we will think in like this. And Prahlad began his great message, his sermon. Komara acharit pragyo dharman bhagavatani ha durlabam manusan janmathar apyatruvam artadam. That now in the tender age of childhood, 5 years old, this is the time to become serious about devotional service. Because we do not know when death will come. It is a fact. The world is so uncertain. And Prahlad was speaking in the Satya Yuga. How much more uncertain things are in the Kali Yuga that we do not know. And besides that, everything you do and everything you say is conditioning yourself with a particular state of consciousness. And the more we waste time with material things, the more within our own consciousness we become so deeply conditioned to those habits, to that pattern of living. And then when we do want to take to serious spiritual life, we practically have to work so hard to undo all of the attachments and conditionings we have created in our life. It just makes it very, very difficult. Therefore, now, when you're 5 years old, this is the time to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. So Prahlad Maharaj was insisting to his friends the importance of not wasting time. That is the way Maya Devi keeps a devotee away from Krishna, by using the power, the influence of time. How does she do that? She says, within our minds, and she says, through the propaganda of this world, that yes, you're convinced that the goal of life is to surrender to Krishna. You're convinced that the goal of life is pure devotional service. That's all right. But there's a few things you should do first before you take it too seriously. Yes? For materialistic people, they're just puppets on the strings of the three modes of material nature controlled by the hands of Maya Devi, who is puppeteer. Prabhupada prayed to be a puppet, but he prayed to be a puppet of Krishna. Make me dance as you want me to dance. But the common people in this world, they are puppets of Maya, and they are dancing. So many different types of dancing they are doing as she wants them to dance. So for a devotee, it is so rare that we come in contact with the Vaishnavas, with the holy scriptures, with the name of Krishna. Durlabha manava janma lobhya samsare. There's nothing more rare than to have the opportunity to serve the Lord. It is so precious. Generally, it takes millions of births to have the opportunity to associate with a devotee and learn about Krishna consciousness. So somehow or other we have it. Inconceivable. Prabhupada was asked, what was our qualification to get this? And Prabhupada said, you had no qualification. He said, I made your qualification. That is a fact. That bhakti can only develop through sadhu sangam, through the association of great souls. Not simply by cultivation of knowledge, not simply by austerities or renunciation, but by the association of great souls. The seed of bhakti is planted in our heart and it has a chance to develop and grow. So when we have this rare gift, then Maya Devi, material energy, one of the ways she keeps people in her clutches is through convincing us to procrastinate. What is procrastination? It is the misconception that at another time I will do everything my heart aspires for, ultimately. Yes? But even in the materialistic sense, there is a saying that tomorrow never comes. It's very great spiritual wisdom if it is applied to Krishna consciousness. Tomorrow never comes. Because as soon as you say tomorrow, then the next day, there's another tomorrow, and there's another tomorrow, and there's another tomorrow. When can tomorrow come? There's always tomorrow. If Maya wants to keep us away from Krishna, she doesn't do it day by day. She doesn't even do it second by second. She does it moment by moment. Just give me this moment. The rest of your life you can give to Krishna, but just give me this moment. And the next moment, and the next moment, and the next moment. And that leads to seconds and minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years, decades, lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. But she does it all on the basis of each moment. Just give me this moment. Wasn't so bad. Give me another one. Wasn't so bad. Give me another one. And another and another. Imperceptibly, through time, she vanquishes us. And she vanquishes all hopes and possibilities of our liberation. So real intelligence, even in management classes today, I have heard that a good manager is one who organizes their time very efficiently. Yes? If you cannot organize your time efficiently, you're going to create a lot of chaos if you're in a position of authority. So good management is time management. And Krishna consciousness, that same principle must be applied. How we organize each moment is what we will gain in our life. There's a beautiful verse in Vishnu Purana which describes that for a devotee, and essentially for everyone, devotees should be conscious of this. The greatest loss, the greatest tragedy in all of creation is to waste a moment forgetful of Krishna. The Puranas declare, Rupa Goswami quotes, that all the injunctions and teachings of all the scriptures of the world are all servants of the two most prominent of all teachings. To always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. We have heard it many times, but think about it. The emphatic word is always and never. The first principle, most important, cardinal rule is to always remember Krishna. Always means at every moment. And never forget Krishna. Because in remembering Krishna, Queen Kunti prayed, we go beyond time. In remembering Krishna, we never have to see birth and death. In remembering Krishna, we remember our eternal relationship with Krishna in due course of time, which is eternal. So how is it that by remembering Krishna, we go beyond birth and death? We go beyond all sufferings. This was Prahlad. That's all he did. He just remembered Krishna. And he was fearless. Just like in that nice CD that As Kindred Spirit Band sung, Bajahure Mana Sri Nandanandana Abhaya Charanaravin. This is a very, very important message. Praying to the mind, please, my dear mind, remember the son of Nanda Maharaj. Worship him. Because then only will you become fearless. Fear is born of identifying with the temporary nature of our existence. Yes? But when we understand, when we have some realization of our eternality, then we become fearless. And that eternal nature is understood by the grace of Krishna. By always remembering Krishna, then we become free of fear. We become free of death. The body will die. Materialistic people, they will say like this, this is actually what the blasphemers were saying to Lord Chaitanya's associates. In Srivast Thakur's house, they were chanting all night long in great ecstatic love. And those who were very materialistic, they were very envious of the devotees. What is this? I say that success in life is having a beautiful ornamented palanquin, sitting on that palanquin with four strong servants carrying you around wherever you want, wearing nice clothes, eating good food. Look at these Vaishnavas. They're wearing all these simple clothes. They're walking. They have practically nothing. What is the use of your life? Whether you're chanting God's name or whether you're not chanting God's name, the body dies anyway and everything is taken away. So what is the difference between you and us? Hare Krishna. The only difference is we're enjoying like anything while we have this body. And we die with some... We die and have lived a full life. But your lives are empty. Just dying, wasting this valuable opportunity. That is the materialistic idea. It's like Prabhupada, in one class, he was explaining giving up sense gratification. He said, and when we conquer the world, we will teach no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, and no meat eating. So many no's. And the materialistic people will die. Because what will you do without these things? But the devotees understand the eternal nature of the soul, which is beyond birth and beyond death. Yes, the body will die. But real education, Prabhupada explains, real education is to understand what is beyond the life of this body and how to prepare for it. Yes. Because this life is so short. It's only a few years. We all know that famous story of the sage who got a benediction that for every hair on his body he would live for one day of Brahma. Hare Krishna. One day of Brahma is 4,300,000,000 years. And he was many hairs. He didn't shave his head. He had so many hairs. Oh, so how many? But yet he was just sleeping on the bank of a river. And somebody said, why don't you build a house? He said, I only have such a short time to be here. Why should I waste time doing that? It is a fact. Everything is so relative. Actually, from the relative point of view of Mahavishnu, Karuna Dakshaya Vishnu, the entire cosmic manifestation is just the amount of time he exhales. Yes. Now, his exhalation is quite significant. Is it not? Entire universal creation exists only in the time of that exhalation. And as soon as he inhales, everything is annihilated. Just enters in an unmanifested state, it enters back into his body. Everything is unconscious. Yes? Now, we think we're great. Let me ask you. How many times have you exhaled in this class today? Just since 8 o'clock when we started. How many times have we exhaled? Do you know? Does anyone care? That is how insignificant we are. But Mahavishnu, he exhales. Lord Brahma lives 311 trillion years. Hare Krishna. That's more or less the time of that's just part of the time of one exhalation of Mahavishnu. Yes, 311 trillion years. And he's just breathing. And that's insignificant. Because in the spiritual world, time is conspicuous by its absence. There is no deterioration of time. Because it's Shuddha Sattva, it's pure goodness. There is no Rajaguna, there is no Tamaguna. Because the modes of material nature in this world only work because they are activated by time. But in the spiritual world, everyone is eternally youthful. Everyone is eternally blissful because there's no time factor. So Krishna, he is the controller of all controllers. Sarveshwareshwara. Therefore, by remembering Krishna, we go beyond time. By remembering Krishna, we can go beyond all material miseries. Why? Because Krishna is above and beyond everything. He is Swarat. He is completely independent. And we are always dependent. We are always under forces and controls beyond ourselves. Therefore, when we chant the names of the Lord, we are accessing the presence of the Lord. And Krishna is so kind. He personally descends in this world in so many avatars just to show his supreme excellences beyond material nature, to do the impossible. In this one wonderful temple of Sri Radha Madan Mohan, the 10 prominent incarnations are painted upon the walls. So amazing. Lord Varaha, he appeared from Lord Brahma's nostril, the size of the tip of a thumb. Yes? And he was just a little tiny boar. Little boar. Very sweet. Just a little thumb-sized boar. And he just floated into the sky, and within seconds, it's not that he had little Balila and then grew up. Just instantly, he became so gigantic that he dove into the causal ocean and picked up the entire Earth planet and carried it between his two tusks. Such a boar. Not like me, such a boar, but such a boar. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he comes to this world, he wants to show how he's independent to do anything in any way, beyond all laws and limitations. Lord Krishna. When Lord Krishna was just a small child, in Vrindavan, Brajbhumi, there is Brahmandagat. Brahmandagat, on bank of Yamuna. The gopas, headed by Balaramji, complained to Yashoda Mai that we have seen Gopal in a secluded place eating dirt. Now, what does a mother think if the child is eating dirt? Vrindarani doesn't even have her child isn't even manifested yet. What would you think if your child was eating dirt? You are in parampara. Jwalamukhi Devi, if little Abhimanyu Suta, if you saw him eating dirt, what would you do? Hare Krishna. So Yashoda Mai is seeing Krishna as a little boy, as a baby. By his yoga maya potency, he is not giving her the understanding that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She has higher realization. She knows he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She's fully realized. But for the sake of these loving exchanges and intimacy, her parental love simply conquers over all of her conceptions of him as being supreme. That is madhurya, the sweetness of the love of Vrindavan. So when Yashoda Mai hears that Krishna is eating dirt, how much she's disturbed. Sukadeva Goswami explains that actually Rohini and Yashoda were always in anxiety. But it was the anxiety of love.
What kind of anxiety?
They were thinking the horns of the cows may harm Krishna, or the claws of the monkeys might scratch Krishna, or Balaram, or the thorns on the ground may prick Krishna. The teeth of the animals may bite Krishna. So they were always worried about Krishna's safety. You don't read too much about Yashoda Mai being in a peaceful state. She was always running after Krishna for something or other, always worrying about Krishna. Yes? So the impersonalistic philosophers, their ultimate goal of life is Om Shanti, 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 like that. But the devotees, Shanti is just a neutral state where there's no anxieties. Yes? But the devotees want love. They want prema. Prema is dynamic. And anxieties increase and activate prema. Yes? Material world means Kunta, the place of anxiety. Spiritual world is Vaikuntha, the place of no anxiety. But when we read the 10th canto, Krishna's Leela, so many anxieties. Yes? Even in the Rasa Leela, there's anxieties. Krishna leaves and they're all crying and weeping and struggling and crying out for Krishna, and then he appears. There's a difference. Anxiety causes inner suffering when it is based on selfish, egoistic desires. But when there is anxiety for the pleasure of Krishna, that actually brings the highest ecstasy to the soul. That is real happiness. That is spiritual bliss. So Vaikuntha means where there is no egoistic material anxieties. So Yashoda Mai became very, very much concerned. Gopal is eating dirt? Why are you eating dirt? I am giving you so many nice sweetmeats and so much nice milk I'm giving, offering you from my own body. Why are you eating dirt? And Gopal says, I did not eat dirt. They are all telling lies against me. Hare Krishna. Now Krishna is the absolute truth, so whatever he speaks is the highest truth. So Balaram and Gopa said, no, we saw him eat dirt. With our eyes, we saw him eat dirt. No, no, they are angry with me. Today they want to get me in big trouble, so they are making these lies against me. Huh? If you want to see if I've eaten dirt, then you look in my mouth and you see if there is dirt in my mouth. So Yashoda Mai said, yes, open your mouth. Now, Gopal's mouth was only about this big. Yes? It's only this big. And when Yashoda Mai looked in his little tiny mouth, she saw the cosmic manifestation. She saw all the universes, all the planets, all the demigods, all the mountains and the oceans, all living beings. She saw all the modes of material nature activated by time working in various ways, all within Krishna's little mouth. Now, how is that possible? The universe is millions and millions and millions of miles. Not just the universe, the cosmic manifestation. Yes? It's like, how big do the scientists say our sun planet is? Huh? Very, very big size. She was seeing all the sun planets of all the universes and the cosmic manifestation. And they were all contained within his mouth, which was only a few inches wide. Now, is that possible for Krishna? Because he wants to show the world through these pastimes how everything is under his control. He has no limitations to time or space. Srila Prabhupada explained that when Krishna was speaking Bhagavad Gita in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he was well over 100 years old. And his body was like a 16-year-old boy. Hare Krishna. Now people, you know, they get facelifts and they do all kinds of cosmetics to try to make themselves look young. But they just can't do it. It's just a matter of time. It's like there was, I knew one very, very famous yogi, Hatha Yogi. And he could do even the most difficult of all asanas. And he was, at that time, he was over 70 years old. And he told me that in order for him to carry on performing these asanas with such expertise, he had to work on his asanas at least 6 hours every day. Because if he missed even a day, just the effects of old age would just come. You know, your limbs start going. And you can't do asanas very well when your limbs are like that. So he was literally battling against time. Yes? But how long is he going to win that battle? Time is just moving on and moving on and moving on. And eventually, death. But I was once reading a newspaper in Cincinnati. This was in the 80s. And it told a story about one of the most beautiful movie actresses of the 60s. And how she celebrated her, I think it was her 50th birthday, by trying to commit suicide. And they asked her why. And she said, I can't face the public the way I look. Because everybody knows me as being so beautiful. And they still have posters of me and magazines of me and my movies are there. They shouldn't see me. I can't tolerate them seeing me in this condition. Although she spent so much vast wealth to try to look young, but she couldn't. Because everyone is under the control of time. But Krishna, over 100 years old, and he's speaking Bhagavad Gita, and he's looking 16 years old. Because Krishna is the controller of all controllers. O great King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of material and spiritual energies, who is certainly the creator of the entire cosmos, creates the time factor to allow the material energy and the living entity to act within the limits of time. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is never under the time factor nor under the material energy. Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma, he actually speaks to Krishna. What a thankless task it is being a creator. Because within the universe, whether he's Lord Brahma, who lives 311 trillion years, or the insignificant little insect that may live one day by our calculation, everything is under the force of time, therefore everyone must die. Therefore there's no real happiness. Abhrama bhuvanar loka punar avratuno arjuna mamupetitu kunteya punar janmana vidyate. Krishna says, from the highest planet to the lowest, there are places of misery. Why? Because everything is under the power of time. But Krishna says, but one who attains my abode, one who takes shelter of me, is free of all these miseries once and for all. So yes, we see that devotees are struggling, and devotees suffer, and devotees sometimes, they slip and they fall and they hurt themselves. But they're but devotees are striving for the right thing. They're striving to take shelter of the Lord. Tyaktva svataramam charanam bhajam harir. The Bhagavatam describes even the most successful materialistic person ultimately loses everything. There's no real meaning to their life on a spiritual platform. But a devotee, even if they do temporarily fall down, they never lose whatever they gain spiritually. And ultimately, when they take shelter of the Lord sincerely, they transcend all the limitations of material existence. So therefore, there is no greater thing to strive for than Krishna. Krishna is all-attractive. Krishna has the power to fulfill all the heart's innermost desires of love. Is there any questions? How do you all? Would anyone like to make any comments or speak their realizations? Yes, Prabhu?
Thank you for a nice class. That was always my question, that how come there are so many miseries and, you know, anxieties in the spiritual world also, since always gopis are waiting for Krishna, and Krishna promised to come and he doesn't come, and they're crying and waiting. And you know, even in material world, waiting is a very, very high level suffering for us, you know, when mother is waiting for me, and that's love, but it's very, you know, heavy. That was my question, but you answered very nicely, I asked you. But still, waiting and suffering with love is little bit, you know, heavy. Don't you think so? Like, even in material world, mother is waiting for child is late, and she suffers, you know. And gopis are highest level of spiritual world. They are also waiting for Krishna.
Hari. When we suffer for Krishna, it actually brings great ecstasy to the soul. In Dwarka, Narada Muni and others, Uddhav, Balaram, they were complaining to Krishna, why don't you go back to Vrindavan? So many years have passed, you do not go. The residents of Vrindavan are crying 24 hours a day. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraja Goswami explains it in such simple words, the condition of the Vrijavasis, that when Krishna left with Akrura for Mathura, said the gopis and gopas cried for the rest of their lives. Now who could love someone that much? Yes? Who could cry for the rest of their lives for anyone in this world? That's the power of how Krishna draw their love. So Balaram, Uddhav, Narada, they're saying to Krishna, why don't you go back to Vrindavan, at least visit and pacify them? And Krishna gave several reasons why he didn't. One of the reasons is, if I go back, the only thing keeping them alive now is that I promised to return. But it's been so long. It's been so long. If I go back again, I'll have to stay there. Because if I go to leave again and promise them to return, they'll never survive. They will not survive. So what will you do if I stay there? And I still have several other demons to kill and like that. But then he gave a deeper answer. He said, in their ecstasy of separation, they are all already so deeply, intimately united with me in their hearts, in love, that it just doesn't get any higher. If I go back, I'm not going to increase the ecstasy of their love. In their separation, it's already at the highest state. Hare Krishna. So because Krishna is the object, it's ecstatic. Suffering is the highest ecstasy when it's for Krishna. Hari Bol. Now, this is very difficult to understand through material calculation. But it is based on the principle of love. Because the more deeper, the more intensely we remember Krishna with love, the greater is the ecstasy of the soul. Hare Krishna. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya and the six Goswamis actually taught us how to cultivate separation for Krishna. Lord Chaitanya's ecstasies is he would cry in separation from Krishna. And all sorts of this, sattvika bhava, all the eight manifestations of ecstasy would actually appear on his body. Because it is beyond the realm of time. When you go beyond the realm of time, any emotion is situated within ecstatic love. Yes? Devotees do not want to enter into Brahmajyoti. Brahmajyoti is beyond time, but there's no emotion, so there's no love. Anuttama Prabhu, would you like to speak something for our purification? Is there any other comments or questions? It's time to end.
No, another 15 minutes. End at 9:30. Another 15 minutes.
I should go longer.
If there are more questions, we can go for another 15 minutes.
Under the influence of time. Gaurvani Prabhu is telling me to go longer. This is something that no one ever tells me. Almost every class, they say, you're over time. Swamiji, you're over time. I don't wear a watch, so I try to minimize the responsibility for being... Srila Prabhupada ki jai.